Father, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, we give you the praise and the honor. Even as we share your word this morning, I pray that you open our minds to understand the scriptures. The word tells us in Luke 24:45 that you open the minds of the disciples, that they could understand the scriptures. I pray that you open our minds to understand, but above all, my God, may you open our hearts to respond to your word. Your word still tells us in Acts 16:14 that you open Lydia's heart that she respond with the message of the Apostle Paul. I pray that even as I share your word this morning, we shall respond to your word, oh my God. It's not enough just to hear the word. We need to respond to it. Enable us to respond to your word in the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I pray and believe.
Amen.
Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The title I've given to this message is Learning from the Magi. This is a story we've heard all through many years when we were in Sunday school, and we want to share. I want to share with you this morning. God is speaking to us this morning through this story, simple as it is. Can I get the first slide? Okay, here we are. The Magi, also commonly known as the wise men from the east, arrived in Jerusalem seeking the one who had been born king of the Jews. When they found him, they worshipped him and gave him gifts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They moved all the way from the east. They moved from Babylon and came to Jerusalem. Babylon is current Iraq. That's where Babylon was. But this morning, I want us to learn some few lessons, just only for now, from this story, from their visit to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, just as we have read the story. In a nutshell, this is what they did. They sought Jesus, they watched him, gave him gifts, and through a dream understood God's mercy. I've given you the entire sermon in a sermon. If you go back home and somebody asks you, what did the preacher say? Just say, the Magi searched for Jesus, watched him, gave him gifts, and understood the message from a dream. You'll be summarized. If they want details, they can look for them elsewhere. But you will have summarized the message for the pastor. Praise the Lord. So I want us to go ahead and look a little bit deeper into what we can learn from these guys, the Magi. Number one, they sought Jesus. Verse 2 shows us that they came searching for the one who had been born king. But I want us to read this. The distance from ancient Babylon, that is near modern Baghdad, Iraq, to Bethlehem near Jerusalem, that is Israel, is roughly 500 to 600 miles, and that is 800 to 1,000 kilometers by ancient caravan routes, a journey that took the Magi 7 weeks to month to cover. Just imagine that. Use your imagination. That's the distance they covered, and they didn't have the modern means of transport that we have these days. How long did it take for these people to cover that distance? The Bible is silent, but we know it didn't take them 1 week. Can you move that 1 week, that distance? You cannot. It didn't take them 2 weeks. It took them 7 weeks. And they were searching for one who had been born king, and that was Jesus. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying here? The Magi paid the price at a sky-high cost in search of Jesus. They paid the price. By moving that distance, they paid the price. The Magi's journey from the east exemplifies a diligent and sincere search for the truth. They trekked in search of Jesus. The church should be willing to pay the price of seeking the Savior. Are we willing to pay the price?
Yes.
Remember, we are learning from the Magi. As a church this morning, they paid the price. And I'm saying, are we as a church willing to pay the price? We should. As we search for Jesus, we should be willing to pay the price. We may not move distances like they move, but there are other things that we can choose to do in search for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Did I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
You got it. In our time, it may not be moving out, traveling such distances. But it may be in search of Jesus. You may choose to put away food, prayer, fasting, choosing to come here in a weather which is very unconducive. But you choose to come. You pay the price in search of Jesus. I think these days we even need to put away social media just to give more time to the Bible and prayer. You say, I'll not go to media. I'll not choose to go to WhatsApp. I'll not choose to go to TikTok. What else? Instagram. So many things. I sent my daughter Tabitha, I sent her a message. And she didn't open it 2 days. Yeah. I said, what's happening? I sent you a message and you didn't open. She said, I decided to put away social media so that I can give ample time to the word and prayer. That is a price to pay. It is hard for some people, even here in the church. Somebody it is hard to put away social media. Somebody may think, we may think he's reading the Bible, but he's on WhatsApp, in the church. So if somebody puts away for some days, that is the price to pay. But we need to pay the price. I'm not surprised. When she came here, I thought she was going to give you a testimony. My daughter was baptized with the Holy Spirit. For the first time, she spoke in tongues. Oh. But she paid the price. She paid the price. I'm not surprised she received that gift. The young people who are here, it is possible to be baptized with the Holy Spirit when you are still a youth. Okay. They sought Jesus beyond what he could provide, but for who he is. The Magi came to Christ, trekking all that distance, while knowing Christ was a baby. They did not ask anything from him. They did not expect anything from him because he was a baby. But they paid the price. They trekked that distance, searching for this young king. Praise the Lord. Church, how many times do we go to Christ saying prayer? And the only time we go there is when we have a long list of things that we need. You have a full cup this side. You need even to turn this side because you need so much from Christ. Can we pick a leaf from the Magi? They searched for him and they did not expect to get anything from him at that time because he was a baby. I know somebody can argue and say, no, he was a baby. That's why they didn't ask. I want also to ask you a question. Why didn't they wait until he had grown up before they could come? So that they could come with their long lists. We need a house. We need this one. We need this one. We need the other. They came knowing he could not offer them anything at that material time. But they came to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we should not pray. We should pray. If you have something you want, you can go to Christ. But the question is, every time you go to Christ, must it be because you have a long list, a mortgage, a loan, what is sickness? No, we can also go to Christ just to seek him, to praise him, and worship him. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So the Magi did that. We can learn from them. We can pick a leaf from them. They searched for Christ while knowing he was not going to give them anything because he was a baby. But they sought for him. We can learn from them and search Christ and seek him. And by the way, let me tell you something. At times, when we have so many things we need, when we are far from Christ, we think we need all these things. But the moment we get closer to him, the things cease to matter. Yes, I can tell you this one experientially. There was a time when I was being evicted back home in Uganda. I was being evicted. I had a loan to pay. And I thought the world was crumbling on me. And I locked myself in a garage and went to the knees and cried to God. And I got a breakthrough. But when I got a breakthrough, I forgot all about the eviction from the house. I forgot all about the money I needed. I just told God, I need more of you. That was my cry. I remember Jesus said, why didn't I tell God I needed this money to pay this loan? So at times when you are far from God, you think you need all these things. But the closer you get to Him, these things cease to mean a lot to you, like they are when you are far from Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. We need to search Christ because we have that desire to know Him. We can go for Him because of the desire. We read in the scriptures, the Apostle Paul, when you read Philippians 3:10, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. He was burning with a desire just to know Christ. Church, we need that desire to know Christ. We got Him to praise and worship. This time not to ask for things. It's okay to ask, but not all the time. Hello? Number two, they worshiped Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. We can underscore that Jesus is God. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So Jesus is King. Jesus is God. That's why they worshipped Him. Because He is God. We know that if you worship anyone else or anything else which is not God, that is tantamount to what? To idolatry. But they worshipped Jesus. That means Jesus is God. But even we have scriptures that are straightforward that show that Jesus is God. And then even the earthly parents, that is Mary and Joseph, we know them. They knew God. There was no way they would have allowed the Magi to idolize their son by worshiping him when they knew he wasn't God. They knew God. They wouldn't have allowed. You remember, Joseph wanted to divorce Mary because Mary was found pregnant. And he didn't understand what. He wanted to divorce until God intervened in verse 20 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. So, they knew God. They knew God. There was no way they could have allowed the Magi to idolize their son. But they allowed the Magi to worship him. That means Jesus is God. So what am I saying in this? Jesus is God. You and I can unreservedly then worship Jesus without any sense of guilty. You see, I read a book some years ago and somebody was accusing the Pentecostals of worshiping Jesus. He said, you should only worship God. But the Pentecostals worshiped Jesus. And he was accusing us. But if Jesus is God, why shouldn't we worship him? And Jesus, you are saying, somebody might say, no, Jesus, they worshiped him and he did not demand or did not reject worship because he was a baby. But when we read the scriptures, even when Jesus grew up, they worshiped him and he did not object. When you read the story of John, in John, the Gospel of John chapter 9, from verses, I think, 37 to 38, that man that Jesus healed, he restored his health. When he met him, after that man had been kicked out of the church, when he met him, the Bible says, the man worshipped him. And Jesus did not object. We have seen other portions of scripture where John, the revelator, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, after the angel speaking to him in Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 to 10, after the angel speaking to him, John wanted to worship the angel. The angel demanded worship. He refused. He objected. He said, don't worship me. Worship God only. Praise the Lord. So this shows us that Jesus is God and we can worship him without any sense of guilt. Number three. Remember, we are learning from the Magi. And we have said, number one, they searched for Christ. Number two, they worshiped Christ. Number three, they gave Jesus gifts. We should give gifts to God even now. It is not enough to only worship and stop there. I know giving may be a form of worship, but this text differentiates the two. They worshipped, but also gave gifts. Now, what am I saying? That when we come to Jesus, after we have shot our holy hands in the air and worshipped Him, you are holy, Jesus. You are holy, Jesus. After that, dip our hands in the pockets and give gifts to Jesus. Not only there, we should not stop there. Hallelujah. Here we don't. After we have worshipped you, we make transfers. Is that okay? The true code, Trevor has not given us the true code this morning. After worshipping, we need to scan the true code and make some transfer. Now listen to me. Jesus will not walk here clad in a tunic, shining, and tied with a sash. And then he walks here to the auditorium and you give the gifts. How are you going to give the gifts? When you give to his work, when you give to the people who are in need, you are giving to Jesus. And that is it. That's how we are going to give. When you give for his work, and the church gets mad and pays bills, you are giving to him. Hello? He will not walk here. So after worshiping, we need to give. The story is there in this scripture here. Mark chapter 25, verse 35 to 40, and following. Jesus told the people that at that time, when they get to heaven, he'll tell them, I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. And the people would wonder, Jesus, when did we see you hungry? He said, when you did it for these ones, you bring it for me. So don't wait for Jesus to come here and give him gifts like the Magi. No, give to the work of God. Amen. When Trevor is here saying, give us money for the hampers, you are giving to Christ. Yeah. You are giving a gift to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the same principle underlies in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. You read that one for yourself. Amen. Okay, let me look at the last one. Number four. Which lesson can we pick from the Magi? God warned them through a dream. The Magi were able to know what God was telling them through the dream. Remember, Herod wanted them to report where the child was born, and then he goes and puts him to death. But God warned them through a dream, and they used a different route when they were going back. What am I saying here? God spoke to them through a dream. Even today, God speaks through dreams. Today, God speaks through dreams. So what is our responsibility here? It is incumbent upon you and me to know what God is saying. The responsibility squarely lies on our shoulders to know the dream. God will speak in a dream. Why don't I read one verse, please? Let me read this one here. Job 33, 14 to 17. For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride. So God speaks through dreams. What am I saying? Don't ignore the dreams that you get. God may be speaking to you. But I must also say, not every dream is from God. There are three sources of dreams. God is a source of dreams. Yourself, you're a source of dreams. You might dream things you've been going through the whole day. When you go to bed, then they keep coming to your mind when you're in bed. And then the devil is also a source of dreams. If I had time, I would differentiate for you. I would give you how you differentiate these dreams. That this is from God, this is from myself, and this is from the devil. But anyway, the thing is, you have a responsibility to know when God speaks, because he does speak. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So we should not ignore the dreams that we get. Conclusively, this is what I have to say. The Magi were learned Jewish scholars and astronomers from whom we can learn how and why we should seek Jesus, worship him, give him gifts, and understand that God can even speak through dreams in our times. God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for this short one we've had this morning, Lord of God. But I pray that you, Lord, you use it, Almighty God, King of Kings. Help us, Almighty God, to put these things in practice, Almighty God, that we may not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. To the glory of your name and the expansion of your kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. God bless you.